I would like to really welcome Mr. Bromwell Ault, and of course his website is centerforpublicconscience.org. Welcome to the show, Bromwell, and thanks for joining us here on the Power Hour.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Frosty.
Could you give us an overview of what your website is attending to and addressing, and then what you are working on right now?
My website contains the text for past issues of my quarterly newsletter, letter of commentary, really, on major issues that face our country and our people, but which our government is largely unwilling to face. And these include things like the environment and immigration and health care and various other things. I have come to the conclusion, and in talking with you and with others, that most of these issues, except financial ones, and even some of those, are subsets of a major overriding issue, which is our population increase, both nationally and globally. And I am coming to the point where I'm actively now trying to, with you, interest various institutions or media to hold symposia so that we can get this out in front of people. The most frequently asked question when you bring up population with anybody is, well, why haven't I heard of this before? And the answer is, unfortunately, that there's a substantial constituency in several paradigms in this country that don't want you to hear about it. We can go into that in detail later.
And I'm quoting him right now in the article, quote, "It is no exaggeration to say that there is no major issue today that is not exacerbated by the effects of our geometrically increasing population within the confines of our limited physical space. Our rapidly increasing world and national population is the mother of all issues and is reflected in its derivatives such as public health, species extinction, environmental degradation, aquifer depletion, climate destabilization, economics, diminishing natural resources, population migrations, religious conflicts, political wars, expansion of contagious diseases, and many other aspects of our global and local society," unquote. That's a mouthful, Bromwell. You know, what is it that the American people, or certainly our leaders, don't get?
There are four really important paradigms that operate against understanding this problem. And the first is religious groups. The Jewish, Christian, and Muslim religions all have a go forth and multiply factor involved in their teachings. There's the capitalist group. Wall Street and the private sector like to have automatic increases in their market built in for them. There's the political subset, which is just too hot to handle. Leave it alone. Nobody's going to win this argument. We're going to make enemies, all that kind of thing. And there's the cultural paradigm, and Americans with their really dedicated independence and individualism will start thinking, oh, that's government in the bedroom. And so these are the kind of things that anyone talking about population has to overcome. The American voting public, while it can be aroused, it's used to being aligned with the two major political parties. And the Democratic and the Republican direction is what most people subscribe to. So there's a vast educational task ahead. However, there's a plus involved in all this, and that is that neither party has an edge, philosophically or otherwise. They don't matter. Their record is poor. Only the numbers matter. And in population, that's the bottom line. The numbers determine the consequences and the results. We have to determine the numbers, and that's all we can do. And if we don't get to it and get to it quickly, we'll lose the chance.
How much time do we have, realistically before Mother Nature starts, batting. And, of course, as I've said in the past, Mother Nature always bats last.
Well, the population clock keeps running faster because the numbers keep getting bigger. At the end of World War II, we had 150 million people in this country, and that was in line with our carrying capacity.
Right.
So now here we are 65 years later, and we have twice that. We have 300 million people. And as you point out in your book, the next 100 million, that's going to occur around about mid-century. Then if you shave our time space a little more, we're going to end up reaching probably a billion by the end of the century.
What is it that world leaders don't understand? What is it that Barack Obama, who voted to double legal immigration back in 2007 with that failed amnesty attempt, and now he's going to try to do it again, what does he not understand, and what do all of the Congress not understand, that there's no way to sustain this kind of and these numbers?
Well, I don't think they understand clearly the law of limits, and that is you can only put so much of a substance into a confined space. And if you keep on pouring water, one cup of water in a glass, and it gets to the top, you can't put any more in. It starts to overflow. That's kind of where we're at. But we have to make two connections with our government and with the people. And the first connection is that all these disasters that we face, the immigration disaster, the natural disaster, climate change, economic deterioration, aquifer depletion, all those issues, are part of population. And if we can make that connection, and all these issues are real, then people will begin to admit the population question into their lives. It's a big sell, but it has to be done. The second connection is that we have to point out and illustrate the inevitability of the consequences of geometric progression. And that it's a weapon that is, there's no defense against it. You go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and in a matter of moments, you're out of control. And looking ahead to the end of the century and a population in this country of a billion people, there'd be civil unrest before that could take place.
And the rich class in this country and all those ones that are touting all of this growth are going to be in the middle of this mess. What does it take to educate them to what we face?
We need a Department of Public Population Policy and at a cabinet-level position in our government. And unless you can command that kind of status, you're not going to get much done. And even creating something like that is a big departure, and people start attacking you and all calling you all kinds of names and this and that. But that has to be done. Such a department has to develop its own sources of information. It can use the Department of Commerce information to some degree and census and all that, but those sources are often politicized, and it should develop its own active models and methods and sources and report regularly out to the government, to the people, certainly at least quarterly, and on some figures and issues where you can get more frequent results, you should have monthly reports. Now, this is a big step, and you mentioned this to anybody in government, especially in our Congress today, and they'll laugh at you. But if we're going to turn this thing around, and time is growing ever shorter, we have to start taking real measures. The two greatest constituencies in the United States of America are the uninformed and the misinformed. The informed runs a poor third. Now, that's what we have to change. And people don't know when they're misinformed or they're uninformed. and they can be resistant to changing their status because it's uncomfortable and they've never heard of this or that. But that's the job we're facing. And it's as big a job as this country has ever faced.
What are people going to do when they come to your website, www.centerforpublicconscience.org? What are they going to see?
Well, they will see sort of essay-type studies that I've done quarterly, each devoted to serious issues, cultural, historical, economical, social, environmental. And the way that I tie these together is that we have a loss of integrity and identity and a loss of institutional ability to produce in this country for our institutions to protect the people they were created to protect. And all this is sort of the rot at the center of our government. And I'm not talking revolution. I'm not talking anything but people becoming more aware and breaking away from the pattern of the domination of their thought by these two parties, Republican and Democrat, who have shown little success certainly since World War II in improving our country. And we face problems today of major sorts that we didn't face then that could have been ameliorated and perhaps prevented by responsible governmental action.